走进英语之夜，感受世界的精彩。
This is English Evening on China Business Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to English Evening. Today is Tuesday, and I am John.
I'm Judy. I will be sitting for Doreen the whole week.
Yes. So again, unfortunately, Doreen will not be joining us, but we have Judy to come in and help us. And so we hope that you will enjoy it. And so today we're talking a little bit about health and stuff like that. And so the first thing we'll be looking at is honey. Apparently, some Australian researchers have found that honey...can actually fight some of, what some people call superbugs, right? And superbugs are a certain kind of bacteria that has now, because of antibiotics, and antibiotics have been used for a long time, like these certain kinds of bacteria are now actually resistant to this antibiotic. And so what they're trying to do now is figure out different ways of fighting these so-called superbugs.
Yeah, it's amazing. 澳大利亚的科学家最近发现蜂蜜有高效的杀菌功能。
Yeah, and so it's really, really interesting, I think, because honey is actually quite an interesting substance, because number one, it's natural, right? Like, you don't have to, make it in a laboratory, you don't have to do research to create something like that. So in some ways, like, it's a little bit more efficient, I think. But then also...What happens is when bees make honey, they also they put a little bit of their venom into the honey, right? So like most bees have some kind of stinger, right? And so like they can like attack intruders and stuff like that. And so when they are making this honey, it actually will go into this, the venom will go into the honey. And so what they found was that a particular type of honey derived from the native to Australia tea tree is especially potent with these superbugs.
We know that most bacteria that cause infections in hospitals are resistant to at least one antibiotic, and there is an urgent need for new ways to treat and control surface infections.
Yeah, and so this is the thing, right? This is actually a big problem, because for a long time, like since the discovery of penicillin, you know, we have been using antibiotics and like antibacterial medicines and stuff like that to help like treat bacterial infections. And the thing is, like, bacterial infections are just so common. And so these antibiotics and stuff like that are in some ways maybe overused or something like that. And so, but of course, this is just what happens in nature, right? So like an organism comes up against a problem or a something that's like a barrier, you might say, and then it changes, right? And so like these antibiotics were killing a lot of bacteria, and so of course these bacteria will evolve to actually be resistant to the bacteria. And so now researchers are looking for new ways, first really just to kind of fight surface infections, because these can actually be although they seem minor, right, they can actually be quite deadly if they go untreated.
Yeah, you know, medical applications involving honey, such as impregnated bandages, have been developed.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, but first, what they really need to do is these researchers, they need to show clearly that these honey-based products could actually replace antibiotic creams and stuff like that, you know. Because what happens is, of course, not only are they used for surface wounds, like maybe cuts or something like that, but they're also used to actually, these antibiotics are used to clean equipment, like catheters and needles and stuff like that as well. So again, what they first need to do is just show clearly through their research that honey can actually fight these infections, and then maybe they can go on to have them used more and more in hospitals. And really what they're hoping is that these treatments using honey will be more of like an intermediate treatment, right? And so that will actually cut down on the number of antibiotics used, and so which will be great, because then there will be less chance of other bacteria becoming resistant to these antibiotics.
I think currently the honey treatment is still on a trial basis, and I hope that in the near future it will be more widely used in hospitals.
Yeah, and so speaking of hospitals, it seems like some people in England want to have dogs in hospitals. What do you think about that, Judy?
It sounds strange, dogs in hospitals.
Mm. Because yeah. usually we see them in, like, you know, with maybe in, like, police stations
yeah.
or maybe even fire stations and stuff like that. But dogs in hospitals, it seems a little bit strange. But at the same time, what some people in England are doing, like research center is trying to do, is trying to train dogs as potential lifesavers to warn diabetic owners before they will have a hypoglycemic attack. A hypoglycemic attack is basically when someone who is diabetic, right, they have some problems with their blood and their blood sugar. Maybe their blood sugar goes too low or it goes too high, and maybe they will just pass out, right? They will just kind of fall to the floor unconscious, right, because something is wrong, right? And this is actually very deadly, because if this goes untreated, and like they don't go to a hospital or they don't get the correct treatment, they can actually die.
So these hospitals are making good use of the sharp noses of the dogs.
Yeah, exactly. And so the interesting thing is also is that dogs have already been shown to be capable of smelling cancer. And so what these people are trying to do are trying to train dogs, right, specifically to smell low blood sugar levels. And this is really amazing, I think, because like dogs have already been used to smell for drugs or smell for explosives and stuff like that in airports and other places. But to my mind, like I've never thought they were able to like actually smell, you know, physical diseases. To me, this is actually quite interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing. 英国研究人员正在训练一批糖尿病预警狗。当糖尿病患者的血糖降至危险范围时，这些小狗便会发出警告性的声音或者动作。
Yeah, and so a survey last December by researchers at University in England found that 65% of 212 people with insulin-dependent diabetes reported that when they had a hypoglycemic episode, their pets had reacted by whining, barking, licking, or some other display, right? And so what they saw was that these dogs kind of gave like a warning sign to their owners, right? And like these dogs hadn't been trained. Okay, so of these 212 people with diabetes, 65% of their dogs, right, without training, were able to warn their owners of a hypoglycemic attack. Yeah, what's going on is there's a research center in southern England that is actually beginning to train dogs to be able to detect these diabetic problems in their owners. And so right now they only have 17 rescue dogs, but I'm sure they're trying to make more. And so the thing is, like, dogs have been trained to detect certain odors down to parts per trillion. So we are talking about tiny, tiny amounts, right? And so, of course, their world is actually quite different from ours, right? Like, we depend mostly on their sight, and in a lot of ways, they depend mostly on their smell, right? And so, like, their smell is just so much more sophisticated than ours. And so what's really interesting, so I mentioned a few minutes ago about how dogs can smell cancer. Around the same time that this research center was training these dogs, they also had some like hard scientific evidence that dogs can also identify bladder cancer from chemicals in urine, right? So just by smelling someone's pee, right, they can tell if they have bladder cancer. And this is just crazy, because like for us, like, you know, maybe we smell something, right, and we're like, oh, that smells like a strawberry, or that smells good, that smells bad, right? For them, it's like, well, like they can smell and see if there's a problem, right? If there's some kind of chemical substance that really shouldn't be there.
Yeah, that's very sophisticated.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. I mean, it's just so crazy. Like, because for example, we can see more colors than dogs, right?
Mm.
But they can smell more smells than we can. So it's really kind of crazy. And so the thing is, like these people doing this research, they really, really would like to have dogs in like every hospital and every doctor's office. But the problem is, of course, this isn't quite practical, because dogs, of course, are a living animal and they require a lot of maintenance and stuff like that. But what they really hope for is for this research to lead to an invention of an electronic nose that will actually mimic a dog's nose.
At this moment, electronic noses are not as advanced as the dogs. They are about 15 years behind. While we are talking about animals, I would like to talk about something about research on birds in California, United States.
Mm-hmm.
According to a research, birds singing and chirping more slowly than they used to 40 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And so what some researchers in California did was they, over the last 40 years, right, they've been recording different birds singing and chirping. And so what they found was actually like the rhythm, the speed, right, is actually it's getting slower and slower and slower.
在美国西海岸研究鸟类歌声的瑞士洛桑大学鸟类科学家发现，在最近40年里，加利福尼亚地区的鸟儿唱歌的节奏变得越来越慢，声音也越拖越长。
Yeah, right. And so basically, it's getting slower, right? And the notes are getting longer, right? And so there's a few different reasons they think about this, right? Maybe it's because of pollution, or maybe just traffic and stuff like that.And I think a lot of it really has to do with, kind of like the invasion of humans, into their, like, natural living environment.
科学家解释说，造成这种现象的原因是鸟儿的生活环境变得嘈杂了，因此他们不得不唱慢些，以便让自己的同伴能够听得更清楚。
Yeah, and so, what happens is, right, because of all this noise pollution, and stuff like that from traffic or just from people, like, walking around, like, their singing and their chirping has to be clearer.Right, and so for that to happen, they have to maybe sing a little bit louder and as well a little bit slower and also maybe a little bit longer, right? Because the problem is, of course, what animals don't need is miscommunication, right? Because miscommunication can really, be the decisive factor between life and death in a lot of cases.
Yeah, so animal can adapt to new environment.
Yeah, and that's what's so interesting, I think. Because, like, we talked about bacteria a few minutes ago, and now we're talking about birds. And it's just really kind of cool because we're only looking at a 40 years' time, right? And so, like, evolutionarily speaking, that's actually quite slow.
Yeah.
Or that's actually not very much time at all, right? I mean, think about...It took, millions of years for humans to evolve to where we are now. But here we're only talking about 40 years. And so a lot of this has to do with behavior rather than, like, actual genes and stuff like that. And so it's interesting for me because I always thought that birds were stupid. But it seems like birds are actually quite smart and they've done a pretty good job of adapting and making sure that they can still communicate, like, from, like, tree to tree and stuff like that.
In English, there's a phrase, an expression, a bird brain. If someone has a bird brain, it means someone is stupid. But I think now maybe we should question this phrase.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Because it seems like birds are actually a lot smarter than we thought. So maybe bird brain isn't so appropriate anymore.
Yeah. Now let's move on to today's biz news. 下面我们来听听今天的财经资讯。China achieves grain output growth for sixth year. 中国连续第六年粮食生产丰收。
The Ministry of Agriculture says 20 million hectares of wheat have been harvested by June 20th, and that's 91% of the total. There's been bad weather in wheat growing, including hail, heavy rain, and strong winds, but farmers were still able to harvest what they had grown.About 440,000 harvesters were put to use this year to take on more than 80% of the task. The government has raised wheat prices in a move to encourage farmers to grow more grain, while this year has seen larger areas of farmland being seeded. The Ministry of Agriculture has stressed the importance of maintaining strong supplies of grain to help China fight off the worst of a global financial crisis while forging ahead with its stimulus plans.
Okay, that was today's biz news.
Yep, now it's time for us to move on to Studio Classroom.
Hi friends, welcome to Studio Classroom Worldwide. My name is Steve. Thanks for taking time out of your day to join us andstudy English with us. We have a great lesson for you today. Times are changing, literally. Times are changing and watches are changing. They have to because people are buying fewer and fewer of them. So if watch companies want to stay in business, they have to make the watch's image more attractive, especially to young people. So, how are modern watches different from the traditional watches we're all familiar with? We'll look at some of those changes after we peek at the word altitude. When the climbers reached 4,000 meters, several of them experienced altitude sickness with bad headaches and nosebleeds. And our second word is creativity, as in working in our company's art department requires a lot of creativity. Okay, the reading for this lesson begins in the middle of page 56. Please get out your magazines and follow along as we read.
Watches tell more than time. Complications, features that go beyond simple timekeeping, are an important part of a watch's image. Today's watches offer a host of features that suit almost any personality. These features include altitude trackers, compasses, lunar calendars, USB drives, and even devices that measure the effectiveness of golf swings. Creativity is also a key element in today's watches. For example, Japanese watchmaker Tokyo Flash makes watches that don't even look like watches. The company's popular Shinshoko model uses different color lights to tell the time.
Friends, I'm Esther.
And I'm Chip.
And I'm Chelsea. Thanks for joining us for our second day of talking about this article, Watches Tell More Than Time. Now, yesterday we talked about the fact that the watch industry is at a crossroads because fewer and fewer people are wearing watches these days. But the industry remains optimistic that watches will regain popularity. And that's because the watch industry is turning more into a fashion accessory industry than one for simply telling time. People want to look good and they're not necessarily worried about telling time. Well, we're going to learn about how they can look good with watches. And in the watch industry, they have a special word for things that go beyond just telling time. They use this word complications. And in today's lesson, that's the first word we see. And it's in quotation marks because this word complications is used in a special way when we talk about the watch industry. And here, complications mean features that go beyond simple timekeeping. For example, if your watch has a calculator or a compass or a stopwatch, then it has complications. But actually, this word complications usually has a different meaning. Chip, can you tell us what the meaning usually is?
Yeah, I can. Usually, the meaning of the word complications is a negative meaning. It's something that you don't want. You don't generally want your watch to have complications because that would mean that it has problems carrying out a certain function. That's what a complication usually is. It's a problem that makes a task difficult or more complex. But here, our article and watch companies are using the word complications to refer to something positive, something good, something that you want in a watch.
Yes, our text says that today's watches offer a host of features that suit almost any personality. That word host, in this case, means a large number or very many. So these watches offer many different features, and the good news is that these special features will suit almost any personality. There's probably something out there for you.
Right. If you are someone who wants a cool look, then there's a watch that looks cool. If you want something that is classic, then there are a lot of classic looking watches. So any personality. If you have many different wants and desires or different ways you want to express yourself, you can wear different watches to show people your personality.
Okay, and one of the features that our article mentions is an altitude tracker. And that word altitude is a word that you might know. It's actually very similar to a word that we learned last month, elevation. And altitude is pretty much the same as elevation. It's the distance or the height above sea level, above the ocean. So planes, passenger jets, usually fly at about 3,000 feet or around 10,000 meters in altitude.
And these altitude trackers are very useful because if you are hiking or mountain climbing, then you can know what the altitude is, and they will track or tell you the exact altitude. Now, Chelsea, our next feature here is a compass. What is a compass?
Well, a compass is another type of device, and the compass is something that shows direction. A compass is something you might carry if you go on a hike, and it tells you north, east, south, and west. And so anytime you're going in a direction, you can check to make sure you're going in the right direction. So these watches use things like altitude trackers, compasses, lunar calendars, USB drives, and even devices that measure the effectiveness of golf swings. Wow, that shows a lot of creativity, I think, for these watches. And the next part of our text says that that's also a key element in today's watches.
That's true. Creativity. And creativity is the quality of being creative. Usually it's something that you have or don't have, something that a thing has or doesn't have. And so if you have it, then maybe that means that you come up with some very original, creative ideas, some unique and imaginative ideas.
In fact, Japanese watchmaker Tokyo Flash has a special model called a Shinshoku, and it uses different color lights to tell time.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Studio Classroom. We are on day two of our lesson. We're talking about watches. Watches tell more than time. The functions of modern watches, like the Japanese complications watch, are very similar to the functions of a state-of-the-art cell phone. Today, watches are so modern, they don't even look like watches. Our author describes them as being futuristic, which is our next key word of the day. Futuristic's example sentence reads, "The design of this building is very futuristic. It makes me feel like I'm going to outer space." The last word of the day is one I'm sure you've seen before. It's the adjective gadget. Alex owns lots of gadgets. He got an MP3 player last month, and yesterday he bought a GPS. Now, let's pick up the reading on line 5. We're on page 57.
Watches tell more than time. It looks more like a futuristic bracelet than a watch. Another Japanese watchmaker, Elino, makes a handless watch. Using a ring of circles to keep time, this watch makes an excellent conversation piece. Whether a watch communicates fashion sense, creative flair, or a love of sports, consumers want their timepieces to stand out. Nowadays, everyone has the same kind of gadget in their bags, so people want to make a statement with what's on their wrists. Will this interest in wrist fashion last? Only time will tell.
Okay, welcome back. Now, we're talking about the Shinshoku model, which is a watch that looks very futuristic. And that word futuristic is a word bank word. Esther, what does futuristic mean?
Well, if something looks futuristic, it means that it looks like it's something that will happen in the future. Think of science fantasy movies and things that you read in magazines and things that don't really look like they're part of this world, but something that might happen in the future.
So it looks more like a futuristic bracelet than a watch.
Now, the second Japanese watchmaker we mentioned today is a company called Elino, and they make a handless watch. Now, if you have a watch, and most watches have hands, and these, there's an hour hand and a minute hand. It tells you what hour, what minute it is. But these watches don't have hands. It's a handless watch.
And this watch apparently uses a series of circles to tell the time. And you can see some pictures of some examples of some of these watches over on page 56. And they use circles to tell time. That looks like something that you would have to learn how to read, how to understand what time it is by looking at it.
Yes, this sounds very interesting. In fact, our article goes on to say that this watch makes an excellent conversation piece. That term conversation piece is one of our more information words, and a conversation piece is an unusual object that brings about comments or interests or questions or conversation. You might say something like, the family owned a piece of furniture from a former president, and that piece of furniture was an excellent conversation piece. It was so unusual that people just wanted to start a conversation about it. They wanted to talk about it. So some of these watches, like the one we're talking about now, are very interesting conversation pieces. People will want to talk about them with you because they don't look like normal watches. They don't use hands, and they look more fashionable than most watches.
So, for example, if you're wearing one of these more stylish watches, someone might ask you, now, are you wearing a bracelet? Is that a bracelet or is that a watch? And then you can say, well, actually, this is a watch and this is what time it is. And it's a nice way to start a conversation. Or if you don't know someone, and maybe you can make a comment about what they're wearing, or you can even say something like, nice watch, where is it made? And then you can begin a conversation.
Okay, so a watch can communicate many things. First of all, it tells you the time, but it can also communicate fashion sense. That means it can communicate the idea that you know what good fashion is and what good fashion looks like. Now, it can also communicate creative flair. Now, Chelsea, what is creative flair?
Well, flair is originality and stylishness. So creative flair would be wearing a watch because it shows that you are original or that you have a certain type of style, and you might want people to notice that you have this creative flair. So not only do watches show creative flair and fashion sense, but also they can show a love for sports, and consumers definitely want their timepieces to stand out nowadays.
Right, they want people to think that their timepieces are different. It's stands out. It's not like everyone else's timepiece. So nowadays, everyone has some kind of gadget in their bags. And earlier, we learned the word device. Now, a gadget is a device. It's a tool, but usually a gadget is something that's smaller.
Sure. So it's basically the same thing as a device, but smaller. Very good. Now, everyone has some kind or the same kind of gadget in their bags. We've got cell phones or some other type of thing that tells time. So people want to make a statement with what's on their wrists. They want to communicate their fashion sense or creative flair with what's on their wrists.
And will this interest in wrist fashion last? Well, only time will tell. It will take time to learn whether or not watches become popular again, or if people continue just using their other devices to tell time.
Join us tomorrow for our food feature, which kicks off the month of July. It's a lesson on summer drinks, something we all love and enjoy during these hot summer months. Friends, from everyone here at Studio Classroom, we hope you have a fantastic day. Bye-bye, everyone.
本节目由吉林省空中英语教室杂志社提供，也可登录相关网站收听当日广播教学节目。本节目配套杂志播讲 MP3 在全国各大书店有售，并可在当地邮局订阅。
Okay, and that was Studio Classroom, which tells us we are at the end of this Tuesday edition of English Evening. But once again, thank you so much for joining us, and we do hope that you will continue to join us in the coming days and weeks.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show as we did. So, see you tomorrow.
氏天梭表为您报时，传承经典工艺，启迪非凡创意。瑞士天梭表，时间任你穿梭。